Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a Perdita!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, band.video, vigilante.tv, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate the amazing support. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression or the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. And also a big thanks to our sponsors, without whom this show would not happen. Legal Shield has been in business for half a century. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They're available in the United States and Canada. It's just the collective buying power of all of us directed towards one particular high-powered law firm in your area, which actually works to get you access to an attorney for a very reasonable price. How reasonable? Well, $30 a month will get you in the door. So $1 a day will get you access to an attorney that on average has about 22 years of experience. So you're not going to get somebody fresh out of law school. They can help you with contracts. They can help you with if your job wants you to sign something funky about an employment contract that mentions something about taking an injection and you're unsure about it, send it to your lawyer. If you've got speeding ticket or a red light camera ticket or something like that, send it to your lawyer. Do you have a will and testament? You better get one or else the state will get involved in your affairs after you're dead. The only thing worse than the state when you're alive is the state when you're dead. And they will be in charge of hammering out your affairs if you die without a will. So take care of this stuff. We're all adults. You got to do it. You don't want to spend a couple grand to get these documents done, a last will and testament, a medical power of attorney, a financial power of attorney. It's going to cost you, but you got to get it. So you might as well do it at a reasonable price. Legal Shield affords you the opportunity to do that for, like I said, $1 a day. Go to our website, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. That's the domain specific to the show. They'll help you out with whatever you need. If you want the Legal Shield, great. There's ID Shield as well. There's a small business legal plan if you need that. If you're somebody that carries a gun, there's paperwork for that. So all kinds of things are happening over there. They tell us that we have equal justice under the law. But I don't know anybody that believes that. The more money you have, the more access to attorneys you have, the more the law tends to go your way. So this is going to help to balance out the playing field a little bit. and put some of the power back in, back on our side. So website, don'tgetpushedaround.com. Take a look, see what you think. Also to our, one of our favorite sponsors, C60 Purple Power. They're local company, local to me, based in Boulder. They've been making the best C60 formula out there. It is a free radical sponge. The C60 molecule was theorized by Buckminster Fuller back in the 60s. It was finally discovered in the late 80s by a team of scientists. It was such an important discovery that those guys won the Nobel Prize for it. So it works. Ken is a nuclear physicist, discovered this stuff while trying to protect himself from the fate that awaits most nuclear physicists. There's not a lot of old ones hanging around. They all drop dead. So he found this amazing formula called this amazing atom called C60. He developed it into his own C60 Purple Power, and it's fascinating and it works. And I take it every morning, honest to God. You can go to shopc60.com and read up about it. There's a ton of information there. You'd be surprised. It's the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything else out there. It really is. But do this. Go to shopc60.com, read up for yourself, find something you like. Promo code is MACRO. Save yourself some money on your way out the door. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. Whatever. ShopC60.com, promo code MACRO. Well, I'm excited for this. We're going to go back to the basics, man. We're going to go back to the way it used to be. Remember posters on telephone poles? Remember promoting your band or promoting your rave or promoting it in this two-dimensional world where you printed it all up? Well, we're going back to the basics with the newspaper. I've got author, researcher, veteran, founder of Liberty Uncensored Newspaper, ladies and gentlemen, Corey Haig. How are you, Corey?
Great. I'm doing really good out here. I live off grid and I'm sitting on my schoolie right now that I got halfway done being built. And I was hoping to take this thing out on a journey over the summer coming up here and tour around kind of like Ernest Hancock did and bring the Liberty Uncensored bus around. But I think I'm going to pass up on that actually this year. Maybe next year we'll do it. But that's where I'm at right now. I'm having a really nice time with the weather out here in Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah. We're practically neighbors. Well, Ernie's got the love bus. Ernie introduced me to the stage at this year's in Acapulco. He was the MC of it all. I mean, you know, Ernie, I know Ernie. I mean, if there's one thing he can do, it's talk and talk and talk and talk. So he's the perfect host for that. He had, you know who Colin Cantrell is? He's a scientist guy. He's in this alternative media space. And he and Ernie's telling this story. He's introducing Colin because Colin's one of the speakers at an Acapulco. And he said, I had Colin on my radio show. You know, he's all excited. I had Colin on my radio show. He talked to me about Bitcoin for 3 hours, right? And Ernie does a morning radio show. And so he said, as soon as we got done recording the radio show, I wasn't done with Colin. I wanted to understand Bitcoin more. This was many years ago. He said, we had an 18-hour conversation about Bitcoin. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of people in the audience that went, oh, get out of here with that 18-hour conversation. But all of us that knew Ernie were like, oh, that's reasonable. That's totally reasonable. Could you just imagine an 18-hour conversation with Ernie where you're explaining Bitcoin to him and he's like, let me understand this better. You know, he's screaming at you. But I saw he was one of your sponsors, so I'm not surprised that you mentioned. But let's talk about this newspaper, man. I love this. I mean, honest to God, we get so far down the road with all this technology. We're just talking about Bitcoin and we get very complicated and God, I hope my internet doesn't go down and I hope my Zoom doesn't go down. I hope my lights don't turn off and all this stuff. But man, I'm old enough to remember I used to get the newspaper every day and read it during lunch, mostly for like the sports box scores and everything, or maybe the little bit of the business section, but I read it. That was how I got my news. And that went away. Somewhere along the road, that went away. But you're bringing it back. Can we talk about this? Like, how did you make this decision to launch Liberty Uncensored? For the Liberty Uncensored NP.com, for those that want to check it out. And I highly recommend you check it out because you can get it in paperback, you can get it in digital. And anyway, so how do you even get started with this whole thing?
Yeah, so I guess for years and years now, I have been attempting to form some sort of community building project that could bring abundance to people that were involved in it, that could encompass people in the wider community, and we can get involved with others and bring them into the freedom community, or at least to educate them a little bit about what things like agorism and anarchism truly mean. And so I've built things like the Warriors of the Rainbow Lodge, which was a 501c7 social club, and just a ton of other projects that I didn't really find so much success in, because it's very hard to herd free people. It's harder than herding cats. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my mind's always taking on new business ventures and new ideas, new ways of how to produce this effect in the world, what I want to see. And my last birthday in October, I was, I woke up and I just had this thought coming to my head. I'm like, a newspaper. How can you bypass the censorship machine, inform people, encourage people to work together and build community, and, you know, basically do everything that I want to see in the world? I could even promote things like Warriors of the Rainbow Lodge in a way that I couldn't have done before. I mean, I spent many, many, many thousands of dollars on Warriors of the Rainbow Lodge, and it never really went anywhere because I couldn't inform enough people. I couldn't describe it well enough to people to get them on board. And so, you know, a newspaper just seemed like the perfect model to do that. And the more that I've been doing it, the more I realized, like, this isn't novel at all. People have been creating freedom newspapers. Oftentimes they're more localized, but they've been doing this for a long time. This has been around and an idea for a long time. In fact, a large part of this idea came from the concept of the White Rose Project, which was a project that these people in Nazi Germany, these college students, decided they were going to create a anti-Nazi propaganda, their own propaganda machine information campaign. And they were highly successful in a lot of ways. They ended up getting, you know, like everybody else who fought the Nazi party in Germany, you know, what happened to them. But, you know, the idea is basically we can get information directly to people that they otherwise will not ever see through mainstream media in any way. And oftentimes they're not going to be able to see through all the alternative media out there, because there's a pre-censorship happening. What I call pre-censorship, where, you know, you have your normal censorship, which is you say something on the internet and maybe they want to take it down. But before you even make a search on the internet, there's algorithms running that determine what's going to appear on your feeds, what's going to appear and be available to you when you make your search. What, you know, it's a pre-censorship. Before you even make the search, before you even know what you're looking for, they're already making it impossible to find. And so for all those people who just never heard of Charlie Robinson or Corbett Report or Ernest Hancock or Larkin Rose, or so many people out there, that the voluntarist.com, all the people who've never thought this could even exist, those are the people that I want to reach. Those are the people, because there's so many people out there that they're right on the cusp. They're right on the cusp of becoming a true voluntarist or anarchist. And a lot of people are already living within that, but they don't know that they are. Yeah. And 130 million people did not take the vaccine in the United States, if we believe the statistics that are put out. But that's 130 million people that, despite propagandization and the fear mongering and the, you know, neighbors shouting at you to do what they're telling you to do, these people said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so 130 million people saying no to that tells me that there's a lot of people out there that are really, they're right on the cusp. And if we can just get the information to them, then we can do a lot with those people. We can make big moves happen, and it doesn't have to be this huge building up process. In fact, we can create the peaceful revolution tomorrow if we can just reach people with the information that allows them to see, oh, I just go over here to this website and I have years and years and years of content that's guiding me toward understanding what's really going on with my government, what's really going on economically, what's really going on with our the degeneration of our society, solutions that I can start putting in place today. And so it really just comes down to information and education. And if we can get the information to them without having to worry about censors on the internet or you know, whatever it might be, I think that we're empowering ourselves and we're empowering our neighbors. And we're bringing this directly to the door of people for free. And we're putting it in cafes, libraries, churches, you know, whatever it is, if you got a social clubs. So we want to get this out for free to as many people as possible. If we can get this out, the goal is after by our 12th issue that we are doing 50,000 prints every single month. For the last 2 months now, we haven't done a single print because we haven't had earnings to be able to do so, which is unfortunate. But I don't see that as like a long-term deficit. I think that it's just, you know, it's hard to build a business people want to see the proof in the pudding before they, you know, start to invest and really get involved. So we're on the sixth issue now, and we have already covered so much information in six issues with just 12 pages in each newspaper. We've already covered an enormous amount of content that if you just go and get these six issues, we're already talking to you about meme warfare, information censorship. We're talking about Black history revisionism for Black History Month. We're talking about agorism and what that really means in Vanuism. And we're talking about, in our last issue, anarchy, what that really means. So anarchism, voluntarism, and guiding people to where they can find more information, become more educated on what these things truly mean. Because a lot of people out there think anarchism is throwing bricks through windows.
Yes.
And they look at what's going on with the Paris riots right now and they say, oh, those anarchists. It's not true. Those aren't anarchists. Those are just normal, angry people that don't have the understanding of how to properly use their energy to get the outcome they're looking for. So they take that and they funnel it through their anger and they want to go and break things. Well, you know, that's not anarchy. Anarchy is the peaceful association of free people, self-determined people, to do some sort of society together. And you don't need other people to be an anarchist. You just have to have respect for yourself and others. You be self-determined and you give that same respect to someone else. And all of a sudden, there's no thoughts that are going to come into your head of committing a crime against that person. If you're giving the same respect to another human being that you want, which is you don't want to be trampled upon. You don't want your rights trampled upon. You don't want to be murdered, raped, assaulted. You don't want to be stolen, have a theft, and you don't want to be trespassed upon. If you give that same thing to another human being, there's nothing else necessary.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you are an anarchist. And so if you're out there throwing bricks through windows, you're definitely not of the same, we're not cut of the same cloth, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just, and, you know, I don't mean that in a negative way either, because everybody's on the journey of life in whatever place that they're at. But again, if we can just get this information to as many people as possible, I think some of the more lost souls out there would actually be able to do something different than, again, you know, using the violence outlet to express all the discontent.
Yeah. And when Berwick has someone on the Anarchast, he's not doing it anymore, Patrick Smith's doing it, but when he was doing it, when he was hosting it, the first question was always, when did you realize you were an anarchist? And that's the first question he asked everybody. And my answer to him was, once I got clear about what an anarchist was and wasn't, you know, because I, like many people, you know, didn't know what to expect from the community. I had seen the it reminded me of the Banksy image of the guy who's throwing the Molotov cocktail with the mask over his head, but the Molotov cocktail's flowers, right? He's throwing the bouquet of flowers. I kind of had that in my head, and I thought, well, you know, it's not Molotov cocktails and tire burnings, you know, and I got this. Understanding in a practical sense the first time I went to an Acapulco. And I remember sitting in the big lobby at the hotel on a, you know, one of these, it was like Friday night, and it was 8 o'clock, and all these three buses pull up, and they're coming to pick everyone up. And I say to the person that I don't know who's sitting kind of next to me, I said, "Hey, what are all those buses for?" And, you know, I'm assuming it's like, we're, I don't know, going to a concert or something. He said, "Oh, that those are the buses that are taking everybody to the nature preserve so that they can let the baby sea turtles into the ocean at night and not get eaten," you know? And I was like, "You mean they're not going to the Molotov cocktail throwing contest?" You know, like it, like right. In my mind, you know, I could understand why people were assuming that these guys were up to no good. And I was like, "Well, that's there's some anarchy for you, letting baby sea turtles live," you know. So I got an understanding firsthand of how that term anarchy had been corrupted, and how it doesn't mean no rules. It means no rulers, and there's a huge difference there. And then you start to meet the people behind it. You start to meet Larkin and Jeff and Patrick and the guys that are sort of, well, I don't know. There's no central leader or anything, because it's kind of the core tenet is that there's no real leadership. So I wouldn't be able to call them the leaders, but I would cut the more prominent people that are recognizable in this crowd and getting to know them. You know, I mean, Patrick Smith teaches peaceful parenting. You know, that's his hobby. That's what he does in his spare time. He teaches that. Larkin Rose will teach you how to, you know, avoid the authorities, how to stay out of prison for, you know, tax fraud, like unlike him, you know. And so all these people that I met have new ideas that aren't talked about anywhere else. And so when I heard that you were doing this newspaper, I thought, well, it's kind of fitting, because it's a new old idea, right? You're going back to the basics here. But again, it's really subversive, if you think about it. It's a really great subversive way to get these ideas out into the general public. Oh, what'd you do? Did you do a big ad campaign? Did you put a bunch of, did you buy, you know, YouTube ads? Like, no. We printed up physical newspapers and we distributed them to places where people might need them or people might read it. I think it's genius. So what, you don't have a background in publishing, do you? You're just kind of figuring this out as you go?
No, I have no background in anything like this. I mean, I've published two books now that, you know, I paid other people to do a lot of the work with, you know, the design stuff or whatever, but, but yeah, now I do all the design work for the, so all the graphics and the, you know, all the Adobe work I do myself, cool. Which is actually like a learning while doing kind of thing. And, but you know, this is an example. Anybody can do anything these days. You can learn anything through YouTube and through like even Adobe. They put out a ton of videos about just how to do different things. And I learned very fast. I pick up things pretty quick, but you can learn anything in the world you can learn today. You want to get back to the basics and live off grid. Guess what? Get on YouTube today, start doing your searches, and within a few days, if you dive in, you'll have enough knowledge that you could probably survive for a few days out in the wilderness. Yeah. You know, come back, do a little bit more learning, and it just keeps on going and going. And so you can learn anything today easily. Yeah. And it, not just YouTube. I mean, in fact, there's better options out there than that. But yeah, so just learning anything is super easy today. And I encourage everybody to go and get as much learning as they possibly can.
These it's back to Anarchapulco really fast, because I was there when they were talking about homeschooling, unschooling, all of this, you know, like this new version of education for kids and how they're doing it and why it's necessary. Obviously, get your kids out of government schools, and it that connected with me. I thought it was fascinating. But then years after that, after the first time I was there, I come across what Richard Grove is doing with autonomy, right? And this is like if the homeschooling is for little kids, then the autonomy programs and things like that, that's for like college kids. That's like the new college. Man, yep. You could learn everything you need to know about life by going through his programs and his classes and doing the things that he's talking about. And not just him, of course, but the experts that he brings in to help fill in the gaps and write these classes with him. I had Jay Dyer on. We were talking about this. Jay's doing work with him. This is the new education system, is it not? To go this route and to find this almost like felt like personalized. I'll tell you, if my college had offered the autonomy classes, I wouldn't have been bored for the years I went through college. Instead, I was just like, well, I got to get to the finish line and get out so that I can get out into the real world, never even bothering to really take too much pride in learning everything there. I didn't want to take 17th century women's lit. I was like, what am I going to use this for? If I need this in my job, I've made a huge vocational error, right? So is that the way we're going now? We're just going to turn the education system on its head and remake it from the ground up with smart people like Richard Grove and yourself and these guys that are showing us how to educate ourselves and our families just in the totally most different way than what the establishment is offering us as the only solution, right? You have to go to college, man. If you don't go to college, you're nothing, right? Well, I'll tell you what, I'd hire somebody for my real estate firm that came out of Richard Grove's autonomy before I'd hire somebody that came out of Harvard, because I would be afraid that they would be a woke idiot who doesn't actually understand the real world, as opposed to somebody that goes through these training processes and these classes that are like, it's the real world, right? Is that what you guys are doing? You're working with Richard over there, aren't you?
Yeah. So there's multiple layers and different thoughts that I had to all of that. So firstly, I just did a course with autonomy on microwave radiation, which will be available soon, I think, and people can go and look it up on there. So if you're interested in learning about electromagnetic radiation and 5G, you know, all the things that are happening within the realm of microwave radiation, cell phone, all the microwave radiation is everything from cell phones to baby monitors, smart cities, all the stuff that you're hearing about regarding electromagnetic radiation. It's actually all microwave radiation. And so if you're wanting to learn a little bit about that, you know, head over to Autonomy and I do a course on that. And then there's so much information available to people if you head there and just peruse and start going through it. I encourage everybody to go and use Autonomy. Now, as far as the education, kind of the new education of people, I think we're organically developing this as a worldwide humanity. We're all developing this thing where it doesn't matter if you get your little certificate from some school. That's not real education. People who are getting those certificates even know it's not a real education. So you go there, you get your certificate so that somebody will hire you for a specific job. But if you want a real education, that comes from a self-interested, self-motivated drive to know something. And this is like John Taylor Gatto talked about this. It's that you can teach a child how to read. I think he said it was like 4 or 6 weeks. A child can learn to read fluently in that period of time, but you have to allow them to be the one to present it like, this is, I'm ready to learn this and I'm motivated. And once they're inspired to learn it, then they're going to blast right through it and they're going to learn it. But if you try to force it down their throats, well, maybe that takes 12 years in a, you know, mandatory schooling situation. No kid wants to be in school. They're not inspired. They're not motivated to be there, except for maybe like small outliers on the edges of the Gaussian curve. Maybe, I don't know, but real education comes from your own self-interested drive. So if you want to learn something and really absorb the content and be able to become an expert in whatever it is that you're trying to learn, you have to be motivated and inspired. You have to have a deep, like, need to know, a craving to know what it is, and drive to get that information. If you don't have that, you're not going to learn it very well. And so the new education is basically people teaching other people, I think, at this point, and sharing uniquely created educational products. So if somebody's interested in learning about microwave radiation, right, they can go to Autonomy and they can hear me talking like this and describing all the different factors that go into that. If somebody's not interested in learning in that fashion, but they're still interested in the topic, I made a zine about it that's easily digestible. It's like 36 pages or something, and you can go learn about what's going on with microwave radiation that way. Now, if you're not interested in the topic at all, don't investigate it. There's no point. If you try to, you're not going to learn it as well as if you had a deep motivation to learn it. So I think that people are definitely moving away from this like college only. College is the only way to learn something and be and make use out of it in the world, because there's also the other aspect that today, I did go to college, but I didn't stay there. It was abhorrent to me. I couldn't do it. And, when I started college, I was learning the same content that I was learning in my first year of high school all over again. They wanted to like start at these like fundamental building blocks level. And I was, far too advanced for that. I think everybody would in that room was far too advanced for it. So if you want to go and waste your time and sit in classrooms for another 4 or 8 years, whatever, I think you're wasting a lot of time that could be used to just educate yourself and then help in building the parallel society that we need to build while we ignore all of the craziness that's going on with our governments and institutions today. So you can get the same education and start utilizing that education in the agora, and you can ignore the institution and their certificates and all of their nonsense and still make use out of the information that you have. I won't say that applies to everything, though. There are some things that going to college to learn them are important because they're highly specific, or not everybody's capable of learning on their own through individual research, and they really need like mentors. And there's not always a mentor that can teach you, in depth. I don't know. I'm going to say rocket science, even though I think rocket science isn't as complicated as they make it seem. So education in general is a self-driven thing. I don't think that anybody can put you in a classroom and say you have to learn this, and then you just won't learn it as well as when you're ready to learn it. And we are starting to move away from that. It's not even classical education. Classical education. So, that's another weird thing. It's like we've been in this time frame for about 140 years since they started like institutionalizing the school system. Before then, you would meet at your local church and they would do Sunday school, or they would do some other form of like localized schooling where all the kids come together for a very small period of time and learn some of the basics, basic algebra or whatever it is that they need to survive. But not everybody needs to know all the different things that they're teaching in schools. You need to know what you're specifically interested in. So I think that that's also an aspect that we're going to be moving into more and more. People are going to be finding their way back to that, because if you're not mandatorily going to school, what are you going to spend your time doing? All the things that you're passionate about.
Right.
And we're going to find our way back to that.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, when we say autonomy and Richard Grove, you may know him from Grand Theft World. If you are somebody that watches or listens to podcasts, you can find the Grand Theft World podcast, which is like 6 hours long, where he's clipped up a bunch of other people's shows and put them together. He's been on here. He's got the craziest 9/11 story of all, man. They tried to whack him on 9/11. Have him tell you. It's a good one. He needs a lot of runway to tell the story. It's pretty detailed. But listen, that this is, you're right, 140 years of compulsory schooling. And what do we have? We have desks and straight lines like the factories. We have a bell that goes off when classes are done, like the factories. We have this mentality where people are being molded into, let's give them a one form of education for the poor and one, liberal education for the elite. And so you wind up already with this management class that's based on your education level, and they intentionally kind of keep you in the dark about banking and all that. Well, I mean, look, if you choose to, those days can be over. If you are a parent that has kids, you can remove them from that system and put them on a different path. And I think that you mentioned John Taylor Gatto. When I was writing my first book, I was researching the education system, and I would just watch 2-hour lectures with this guy, and I would be like, who is he? I've never heard of this guy before, right? And this is the most interesting guy. And then I meet David Rodriguez and he's like, oh, we're doing the Gatto Institute and everything. I was like, wait, does everybody know about this guy? Am I the last person on earth to figure out who this guy was? And he just came at the education system from a totally different perspective. And I thought it was so refreshing. I'm curious that for those out there that have heard the term, but don't really know the definition, what is agorism?
Right. So if you are practicing commerce, right, that means that you're exchanging goods or services for money. If you're practicing any form of commerce that the United States government or any government around the world thinks is inappropriate, you're probably, and you're still doing it, you're probably acting in agorism. So it's basically saying that fundamentally, it's saying that we need to, no matter what the regulations are or anything like that, we need to act in our own self-interest and our communal interest. So if, for example, if someone says, or if some government says that a plant is illegal, right, it doesn't make it a immoral or a bad thing in any way to still use that plant. In fact, it might be, you might want to take a second look at it and say, what's really going on with this thing? But so if you're still practicing commerce, despite what any governments are saying or doing, you're probably an agorist. If you operate in the gray or black markets, you're probably an agorist. If you accept cryptocurrencies and basically if you disregard the regulations that are made and you act out of the interest of your community in your commercial activities and for yourself, you're probably an agorist. And that's a very simplified way of looking at it, but it's the way that I look at it.
Yeah. Well, look, it's the way we need to start to reframe these things, because so much of what is legal is we make this assumption, oh, it's legal because it's good for you, or it's illegal because it's bad for you. And if it's illegal, the government is making sure that you don't do it because it's really bad for you. Now, I think that's a very kindergarten way of understanding the world. I think that we all probably felt that way growing up. And then we went, well, wait a second, this doesn't make much sense. This is, you've got marijuana as a Schedule One drug, but heroin Schedule Two. Like, what are we right. talking about here? This is everything's kind of backwards. This doesn't make much sense. And then you get into the real reason why these things are illegal, and it's not because a loving government is concerned that you're going to jump out of a third floor window thinking you can fly. It's because, as Terrence McKenna says, that psychedelics open you up to the possibility that everything you know is bullshit, you know? And yeah. So that unpicks the hierarchy structures, you know, and it becomes like a skeleton key that allows you to see what's going on in reality beyond what your government has told you. So I understand why they make things illegal. But it certainly isn't because they want to protect us from harm. God knows that we've got plenty of things that are legal, like atrazine that's in the water that's chemically confusing genders and creating all kinds of side effects. So it's not legal versus, I think people confuse legal with moral. And that is definitely, those things are two different sets of rules, right? So you've got Kenny writing about natural rights in your magazine, right? Yeah. So like what are natural rights as opposed to like how would we define them and why are they important to us? We know why the government hates it, but why should we retain a sort of a stranglehold on our natural rights?
Sure. So well, the basic thing, first of all, is why is it called a right? Because you got right and wrong. And if it's a right, it's because it is right. And if it's a wrong, it's not a right. So our rights are not given to us by any terrestrial being or otherwise. Our rights are inherent in our existence. So when you are born, when you're conceived, you have your rights. And those rights extend to everything that does not cause harm to another human being or to the land, I would include in that. So your natural rights as a differentiation from constitutional rights, I guess, is the right to almost anything that doesn't harm another human being. So if you want to declare that your natural rights are to be able to grow food, well, of course, that's a natural right. But if your idea of a natural right is to grow food that's toxic to your environment, that might not be a natural right. Or if it might poison somebody or poison the water or anything like that. So basically, if you're causing harm to another human being, you're not acting within natural rights. That's outside of that realm. And actually, our constitutional rights are based on our natural rights. So a lot of misinterpretation happens about what our Constitution is. And yes, it's not a perfect thing by a long shot. I think it was better when it was created. It was better than anything else we'd seen so far. And that's not saying that much, because the world was really a difficult place. And there was a lot of inhibition of freedom going on. But our Constitution was built actually to affirm all of these rights that we already had. Nothing was ever given to us. We were already provided by nature, by God, with rights inherent to our existence. The Constitution just says, hey, here are some of those rights that you already had. And the Ninth Amendment of the Bill of Rights says, any rights that aren't explicitly laid out here, they're still your rights as long as you, you know, affirm them yourself. So that's on an individual basis, on a group consensus kind of basis. It's everything. If you stand in a right, which again, fundamentally just means it is right and not wrong, it is not causing harm to another human being. If you have your rights and you're standing within them, then those are affirmed and they are constitutionally valid as well. So our Constitution actually is a pretty clever document. It's saying, you know, your government cannot come after you for standing in your natural rights is the fundamental thing that our Constitution is telling us. And because of a lot of misrepresentation of that document and the motivations and intentions behind it, and a lot of, you know, just nasty people coming into power and changing things for their benefit, we've lost that understanding. It used to exist. But we've lost that understanding somewhere along the way, and it's just increasingly going down that path. Like the idea that somebody can take away your guns, whether it's a government or a neighbor, it doesn't matter. Nobody can take away your guns. That's one, your private property. That's two, your right to self-defense. And if anybody comes around to take your gun, you have somebody there attempting to steal from you, which is a true crime and is defensible. So you can defend your rights. And, you know, First Amendment, freedom of speech, Second Amendment, freedom to defend it, freedom to assemble, and all that stuff going along with free speech. So basically, you know, your natural rights exist. Nobody can give you a right. Nobody can take away a right. It exists, and it is your job to affirm it every single day in the actions that you take every day. And if you're not doing that, then other people are going to take advantage of that.
It seems like recently these rights have been rebranded as privileges.
Right.
And that the privileges can be taken away. Right. Yep. Like, well, we let you out of your house during COVID, but that was because we were being nice. It's like, wait, what? Like, you never had the right to confine me anyway. Yep. Don't sell me back my rights as privileges and ask me to be thankful and like, oh, well, I'm so grateful that you gave me back what was rightfully mine. But of course, we have been conditioned to sort of be in a, I don't, you know, not to be disrespectful, but like a slave mentality, slave to the government. The government is the master. We are subservient. We do what they tell us to do. If we don't do what they tell us to do, they put us in a cage like an animal, or they take away our freedom. No, okay, of course, now I understand that you can't be acting like a lunatic and going around robbing people and doing all these things without expecting repercussions. But the idea that they've criminalized all kinds of marketplaces, God knows, I watched Ross Ulbricht's poor mother give a presentation at an Acapulco years ago talking about how how traumatizing that was for Ross and how he's gone away on double life plus 40 for opening, for running a online store. Yeah, they're selling illegal things, but illegal by who? Illegal. I mean, if I go to Holland, it's not illegal. It's illegal where my computer is makes it illegal. I mean, get the fuck out of here. Right. None of it makes any sense. And it just feels like a shakedown. It feels like governments imposing their will on the people. And more than anything, somewhere along the road, the government lost sight, and we the people also lost sight of who is in what role. The government has now decided that they are in charge of everything, when in actuality, the way it was drawn up was that we were in charge, but there were so many of us that we just decided it's easier to have some of our representatives. Like, it'd be like me having an agent. I'm going to have my agent represent me in this meeting, right? And you go to Washington, D.C. and represent me and all the guys on our team. You know, you go represent us. And somewhere along the way, that got corrupted, right? Is that what we're sort of facing right now?
Well, I think we're facing the complete degeneration of all things that, one, make us Americans, which, by the way, what makes an American American is our private property rights. There really isn't anything else to it. We were the first experiment in true private property, like in the Western, ideology of what that means. And that's what distinguishes us from on the most basic level from anybody else. We have very definitive private property rights that that originated on the first ship that landed here, St. James Town or whatever that was called. And so we have already moved way past the point of no return. Our rights have been trampled. Our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution have been completely just torn apart. Fourth Amendment rights to privacy. I mean, Edward Snowden has shown us on top of whistleblower after whistleblower after whistleblower that we're being spied upon by our own government. Since 2013, our government has said, has been allowed to, by their own passing of, you know, bills, has been able to propagandize its own citizenry. Our Second Amendment rights have been violated since the 20s, I think, because they started to prohibit people from, they charged a fee for people who owned a machine gun in the 20s, and then it just ramped up from there. Here's an interesting point. If you want to have a just society built from where we are now, if you want to go from where we are now to a just society, a truly moral and a society based on the principles, even if the Constitution wasn't perfect, the principles of the Constitution being that your natural rights are affirmed and nobody's giving them to you and to stand in your rights. If you want to bring that back, all you got to do is have people who come to juries. Basically, if there's no crime present, those juries just say, no, not guilty. And all of a sudden, the precedents start to change and the people gain their power back. But as long as juries go into the courtroom and the judge tells them, hey, you have to make your determinations based off of what's in this box right here that I'm providing to you, then we're not going to get anywhere, because the box that they are providing to the jury saying you have to make your decision based on this information I'm giving you means that the jury doesn't know that they have the right to just say, no, screw you, judge. This person's not guilty. Even if the person was a mass murderer and they did horrible crimes, whatever, the jury could just say, no, he's not guilty. And really, it just takes one juror. And so, obviously, I'm not saying we should do that with, you know, mass murders.
I get the point, too. It's there's victimless crimes, crimes that aren't even crimes, the crimes that are technically crimes, or you get arrested for it and you go in front of a jury and the jury's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, but again, jury of your peers.
Right.
You know, my peers aren't on the jury.
Right. And actually the intent behind that phrase of jury of your peers, the intention is that, or was that people who knew you and could vouch for your character, whether good or bad, would be the people that would sit in the jury. So now we have just random people that have never met us, that don't know anything about us. And those are the people that are determining our fates in the jury box. That's not the intent that how that was meant. And there's so many things like that, so many more examples like that of how things have been twisted over time. But really, it just takes the juries. And we could take this country back, and we could take it further than it's ever been in the way of freedom, liberty, and justice. And so if you ever sit on, you know, if anybody's listening to this, if you ever sit on a jury, if there's no crime present, if there's no victim, it's called corpus delicti. If there is no corpus delicti, which means no harm has come to anyone, just say not guilty. Doesn't matter what the judge tells you. Doesn't matter what the prosecutor says. If it's a criminal, if they're trying to charge somebody for a crime and there is no crime, just say not guilty. Definitively, firmly, and never back down, because your choice in doing that is a million times more powerful than going and checking a box in the voting booth. It's a million times more powerful than rioting in the streets like they're doing in Paris. It's a million times more powerful than doing a march saying, hey, we want our rights. No, none of that stuff works. In the end, these people sit in their high towers and they laugh while drinking their teas and looking down at you like ants. No. When you go to the jury box, or if you know anybody who's going into a jury box, inform them just to say not guilty. Because every time they say guilty when there's no crime, they're empowering this structure to grow and to penalize people for things that aren't true crimes.
When I see juries, it reminds me of that George Carlin quote when he says, just think of how dumb the average American is, and then realize that half of them are dumber than that, you know, and you just go, is this what, let's say I'm up on a murder charge and I'm totally innocent, right? I know I'm innocent. I know I didn't do it. My lawyer knows I didn't do it. My family knows I didn't do it. I get in front of a jury of dummies. They may, you know, who knows? They may say, well, he's white, you know, and you know how those white guys are these days. They're all gun carrying. Oh, he's an anarchist, so he probably did it, you know? And so all of these things start, I'm with you, man. I think we should probably, you know, we should probably be looking for alternatives to this. Since you mentioned this, since I've got you here, can we talk a little, we've got 10 minutes or so left. Can we talk about this microwave radiation? Because you're sort of all over that topic. What do we need to know about it? That like, where are we? I know we're getting it. We're getting it from all directions. It feels like it's, you know, it's an invisible enemy. It's invisible. It doesn't affect us, right? Like everything else that's secretly killing us that we can't see. So what are we up against? What's the reality of what we're up against with microwave radiation, microwave radiation warfare, I guess. I mean,
yeah. So in my estimation, microwave radiation is the number one most pervasive and prevalent toxin in the environment and most dangerous thing that we're facing as biological life, not just humans, biological life on this planet.
Wow. And that's a huge like statement. And I'm not even saying that I disagree with you. I just need to know more about it. That's crazy.
Yeah. And it doesn't really get the attention that it deserves, you know. But imagine this. Vaccines, generally, you can say no. Eating shit food, you know, going to McDonald's every day of your life, you could stop doing that. Ingesting things that are basically killing us, you can basically say no to most of the stuff that is like that. Some of the things you can't say no to. You can't say no to barium being sprayed in the chemtrails and aluminum and other heavy metals dropping onto our food and then being absorbed into our food, especially our vegetables, and then eating that. That's a really hard one. Even if you're eating organic, you're not really going to be able to avoid that one. How many others are there? Maybe like the fact that there's estrogen and fluoride being pumped into our water supplies. But you can really say no to that too. You can start getting your water from other sources. Don't drink from the tap. You know, there's ways of going about it. But microwave radiation, there's no way, because it's becoming so pervasive that if you live in a city, there's no way around it. You are inundated with it 100% of the time, no matter where you are. If you live in a rural area, the number one goal of telecom right now and your government representatives that sit on all the boards that are supposed to be regulating them, their number one goal right now is to get it into rural communities and tribal communities. So they want to put it on the res and they want to put it in every rural neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Now, The problem is that one that costs a lot of money, that money comes from you and me. Well, not always. I mean, in some ways it does, and in some ways it doesn't. And then the other problem is that there's not going to be anywhere that you can go where you can step out of these radiation fields. And with Elon Musk, you know, a lot of people in the freedom community, they love Elon Musk, and it doesn't make any sense to me. Elon Musk is a technocrat trying to put chips in our brain, and every single project he does is either he stole it from someone else, or it's not really a great project. Like Tesla, you know, Tesla cars don't make any sense. They do not save on petroleum uses, if you're concerned about that, petroleum use, and they require copper mining out the wazoo and so many other things, and lithium batteries. So, you know, all these people love Elon Musk, but 5G being beamed at us from thousands of satellites that are roaming around the earth at any given time, beaming 5G at us so that we can download a movie faster, just makes no sense.
Yeah.
And for all the people who think that this is a good idea, I mean, you're supporting the most detrimental technology to human life that we probably have ever seen in history. Like, no matter what kind of historical timeline you believe in, this is about the worst that it gets, because we're not going to be able to avoid it anywhere on the planet. And these things, they're subtle. And so it's very hard to pick up on, especially if you're, you know, and there's like sensitive people who they call them hyper electrosensitive. And then there's the people who are like calloused to this, but it's going to affect you the same. It just means one person is a little bit more attuned to the sensations that they're getting from it. So I know a lot of people who can't even go near to a Wi-Fi box or anything like that, because they'll start to get headaches, lightheadedness, dizziness, nosebleeds, all sorts of different things. And so, you know, it's a very difficult situation. In 2030, they're going to be coming out with 6G. 6G moves us into the terahertz range. And the danger that this is going to pose for us as we move more and more and more down this path, it's going to become unavoidably dangerous. And right now, you can still go into the woods and get away from it in some places. But Elon Musk plans on putting tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of satellites into our atmosphere over the course of the coming years. And so pretty soon, you're not going to be able to get away from it. And so it becomes more important because of that, to know exactly what it is that you're being faced with. And I can tell you, just as the bottom line to it is, your body becomes deoxygenated when you're in these fields, 100%, and cellular communication starts to fail, and free radicals are released. So when you think about those three things right there, we're talking about cancer, we're talking about autism, we're talking about through the intermingling with other things like the heavy metals like barium and fluoride calcifying pineal gland in your liver to make it impossible to detoxify naturally. All these things combined and unhealthy eating practices means that very soon in the future, we're going to be faced with existential problems, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I've talked to enough people about this, about the EMF problems. I've talked about, obviously, vaccines. I've been heavily critical of them from the beginning, pre-COVID, of course. But it feels anti-human. It feels like an anti-human agenda, because I understand progress, and I'm not somebody that's like, let's go back to the horse and buggy. You know, I understand that we're going to make these advances, but at what cost? Like, it doesn't do us any good if we can download a movie faster, if we're frying our insides, you know, if we're shortening our lifespan, if we're destroying structurally our DNA and passing this on to future generations, or not passing them on to future generations because it's affecting our ability to reproduce, or we've got a cell phone in our pocket that's destroying our testosterone, or we've got, fluoride in the water that's calcifying our pineal glands and all of these things. But as Americans, we just go, yeah, but that doesn't, it's incremental. Oh, I don't worry about that. That does. It's just a little bit of radiation. It's just a little bit of poison in my body, but it accumulates, and given a long enough timeline, you start to feel the repercussions from it. America is sick, man. America is the sickest country around.
I got two facts for you that this should stop every single man from using cell phones or holding cell phones in their pockets, or even engaging with them on their belts or anywhere near their genitals. Right. So we have seen a decrease in fertility rates, and a lot of that points to other factors, but we've seen a 50% decrease in sperm motility because microwave radiation, these man-made microwave radiation fields, the way they affect sperm is that they actually deform the mitochondria that connects the tail to the head of the sperm so that they can't swim correctly. And so basically they become immotile. They can't swim up the canal and impregnate a woman, impregnate an egg. So because of that, it's not that we have less sperm, it's that our sperm are becoming deformed and frightening. That frightens me a whole bunch. That makes me think, I don't want to be around any of this ever again. Now, the second part to that is 1/3 of the energy in the body for a male comes from the testes. It comes from the sperm. So if you are, and this would apply to other things too, if you are deforming your sperm, and if you are becoming infertile and producing less sperm because of other factors at the same time, you're also reducing the amount of energy that you have available to you at any given time. Your brain consumes 1/3 of the energy in your body on average in a single day, right? Just the use of your brain, if you're, using your brain at all, I guess. But
and that's a big if for a lot
of people. Right. Yeah. So, just imagine that 1/3 is produced by your testes, 1/3 is used by your head. So if the production factor is less, what do you think is going to happen to the output factor for your brain or for whatever other components of your body? And so just for that single fact alone, every single man should stop putting these things in their pockets. Women, stop putting it in your bra. The studies are explicitly, the proof is so explicit. We can pinpoint exactly where the antenna in the phone is producing a cancer in breasts, in women's breasts. So like, stop putting your damn phone in your bra. Men, stop putting it in your pockets or wearing it on a belt. Just reduce that. I barely ever have my phone in my hands. I talk on speakerphone. I put it away from me as much as possible. I don't wear it on my body. If I am going to put it in a pocket, I turn on airplane mode. And I have a bunch of developer mode stuff on there too. So I turn everything off. When you go to sleep at night, that's the number one thing. Everything needs to be off. No microwave radiation around whatsoever, because that's when your cells need to recuperate. When you're within these fields, your cells will not recuperate. And that's the beginnings of your chronic disease forming over time.
It's up to us to educate ourselves on everything. Educate ourselves on our health, educate ourselves on our food, get straight on what we want to get out of this school system. Because if we leave it up to, if we outsource it to them, we know we're going to get poisoned, miseducated, uneducated, whatever. It's all bad. Corey, what's the best place for people to find you, to support you, to get this newspaper, and to check out all the work that you're doing?
Yeah. So you can find the newspaper at libertyuncensored.news or libertyuncensorednp, like newspaper.com. You can go to our Substack, libertyuncensored.substack.com. You can also find the link for that on the website. You can find me personally at coreyhaag.com, H-A-A-G. There you can find my books and some more information about me. and I have some merch on there. I also sell microwave radiation blocking devices made of shungite. Look up shungite. And really, I want to encourage people to get involved with the paper in some fashion. It doesn't always have to be money, but you know, if you can send us $8 for the Substack paid subscriber thing, that helps us out so much. And all that money goes into us being able to print physical, tangible newspaper and deliver that to people and the people who really need it, that information the most as well. And then, If you can't give a financial contribution, then we need people to distribute. And if you want to be a distributor in your area, you don't necessarily have to pay us for paper. I mean, we can come to arrangements where we send you a big box of papers and you can distribute that in your area and start to educate your community without having to, you know, form meetups or put yourself out there more than that. I mean, you could just literally take stacks of these and put them in a cafe or a library in your neighborhood and start educating your community. And so we need distributors. We need advertisers. This is a big one. We need people to come and advertise with the paper. It wouldn't take that much. We have the cheapest advertising of any newspaper that I've ever heard of. You know, we start at $12 for our first advertisement, and our advertisements stand out more. And we really need that because it supports our ability to do this work. Most of the money that's coming to the business, 95% of our funding has come from myself and one other editor. And so, we're transitioning that process. We really want the community to either support it and it will stand on its own two feet, or we're going to keep working on it, but it's going to be a little bit more difficult to keep doing the printing. So I encourage everyone, just, you know, get involved in whatever way you can. If you got a project, business, some idea for advertising, reach out to us and we'll make it work.
Yeah. If you've got more money than time, donate your money. If you've got more time than money, donate your time. If you have an interest in these sorts of things, and you probably do, if you've come to the tail end of this episode, then get involved. That's Corey Haig, everybody. The links are going to be in the description. You can connect with Corey. You can support the work. They're doing outstanding work over there. If you like this episode, or if you think that there's somebody in your circle of friends that might benefit from hearing a little bit more about this, take the additional step right now of sharing the show with them. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression. And the website, again, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101 night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, GhostBed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. GhostBed. The coolest beds in the world.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.